I don't know why, because celebrities aren't really our friends. We don't really know celebrities, right?
That's true.
But whenever I hear about a celebrity that I like that is breaking up, getting a divorce, whatever, it like kind of bothers me.
Mm.
So Shakira announced that her and her longtime boyfriend, Gerard Piqué, am I saying his name right?
Yeah, I think it was her husband, I thought.
No, they were never married because she doesn't really believe in marriage.
All right.
But they've been together for more than a decade and they have two small children together.
Okay.
And she announced that, you know, confirming that they had gone their separate ways. And for some reason, that made me so sad.
I mean, you never had dinner with the two of them. You never sat down with the two of them. Why would you care? Were you projecting your happiness on them, right? You see somebody and you see a couple photos and you think, oh, wow, they look like they really enjoy each other. So it makes you believe in true love. Is that it?
I just feel like I don't like when celebrities that seem to have strong marriages fall apart. In my mind, I think like, okay, shouldn't you be able to figure this out? Shouldn't you not give up yet? Shouldn't you like just give a high five and make this a real thing? Like, remember when Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck broke up?
Yes.
That was so sad.
Yeah. I think it's because you really, really, really like her, right? And you felt like she took a good job taking care of him and, you know, kind of putting him back together. He was a bit of a wreck after him and J-Lo went their separate ways the first time.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck's been up and down, man.
Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, when they broke up for Angelina Jolie, like I was one of those people that had like the team Jennifer shirt on, which doesn't make any sense.
It is odd for you to pick sides in every one of these situations. On the other hand, when Jesse James broke Sandra Bullock's heart, I was like, that dude, that scumbag, cancel all his shows. He'll never meet another woman as good as her.
Well, that's the truth. Like, and I was actually happy for her because I'm like, that was never a good matchup. Like, she is too wholesome. Pete Davidson, Ariana Grande, I was like, she definitely broke his heart.
Yeah, remember 100%. That time when she licked the donut on that viral video and said something weird about America?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was upset with her too.
Right.
Looks like it all worked out for Pete, though.
Yeah. Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, people are still sad about that one.
He's married.
Right. We should
let it go.
We should let that go.
Let it go.
Goosefava. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Amy calls it the gain train, and now I fully understand why. Amy Linus is from fitbodyvibe.com. She's our nutrition expert. Amy, this is the time of year where you always think like the holidays you gain a lot of weight, but no, it's really Memorial Day to Labor Day.
That is the truth. That's when it starts, the first holiday out of the gate, and it's nice and warm. We're all feeling good.
The sunshine on my face tells me that I'm doing better than I am. So then I'm immediately like, let me reward myself with some hamburgers, some hot dogs or whatever. Like, I mean, I know I gained weight last week, but that was because I was on vacation and there was a buffet.
It's true, though, because Memorial Day weekend, like, I was doing so well trying to eat healthy for like 7 weeks. I was so proud of myself. And the minute I gave myself permission to just eat whatever I want for a couple days,
on.
It's like I can't get back on. It's like, it's
yeah. Somebody flip that switch and it's go time.
So what do we do? How do we avoid the gain train during this time, or at least get back into our healthy lifestyle?
So you actually started off great, working out, making sure everything was on point. You are preparing for that event in advance, and that's what you have to start with, is prepare for those events in advance. And another way you can do that is to cut down on carbs or calories just a few days before the event. Say it's a wedding, a holiday weekend, vacation, whatever it may be, just cut down on those carbohydrates a couple of days before you head out. And that way you don't rebound so hard. You don't have all those calories present.
Amy, I was talking to one of my girlfriends the other day, and we were talking about how when we were younger and we had a wedding to go to over the summer or something like that, like we would, the whole week leading up, we would eat so clean, protein shakes, work out every day to get ourselves like perfect. Now we stop at McDonald's on the way to the wedding to make sure that we're not hungry if the food's not good that's being served.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's cold nuggets stashed in the glove box. Gross.
That's so funny.
All right, so we have to prepare in advance. A few days leading up, be extra clean. What else can we do?
Obviously, they're going to be drinks flowing like crazy at all these events. So drink about 6 to 8 ounces of water between each alcoholic drink that you have. And only drink things that are lower in calories. Don't go crazy with like a daiquiri every time you want something. The sugar in those, I mean, it's out of this world. Make sure that you're pacing yourself, a little bit of moderation. Like I said before, a little bit of water in between every alcoholic beverage that you have. Yes, they're going to be there. Yes, it's warm this time of year. Yes, we want to be refreshed, but we don't want to stumble around and fall over either. So we have to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves in between those drinks.
Gosh, once again, As soon as I just tell myself I'm all right and I'm doing it for America, it's all game. I had daiquiris. I had burgers. I hit the buffet. Far too much. I made all the wrong moves, Anna.
Amy, what's your go-to drink? Trying to be healthy, I do the vodka seltzer with the lime.
See, that's perfect. That's a great one. I'm more of a tequila girl, so I'll do pretty much the same thing with tequila with fresh lemon and lime. Mm-hmm. And I'll even use flavored seltzer water sometimes.
Yeah.
They say tequila helps you lose weight.
It's not true.
Oh, tequila is a natural thermogenic.
What?
Boom!
What?
It hypes you up.
This entire segment should have been about how we should be drinking tequila to be thin.
Tequila, yeah.
We got the important thing in at the end. No problem.
There you go.
All right, Amy Linus, you can find her online at fitbodyvibe.com. Thanks, Amy.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you crazy? This is your chance to get it off your chest. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
So, yeah, I can't stand it when somebody chews out loud while eating their food at, like, a restaurant.
Anna's husband has become a hummer.
He does this thing where it goes like this. Like, he'll eat something, and if he likes it, it goes. And he doesn't even realize he's doing it. Right. And it not only irks me, it irks my mom. And imagine being scolded by your mother-in-law every time you're eating something that you're enjoying, even if she made it.
I mean, here's the thing is that he's clearly taking pleasure in that. That's what you need to know.
No. He has no idea that he does it. No idea.
Terrible.
And Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, so if your boarding group has not been called yet at the airport and you try to, like, you know, board or muscle your way into the line, that's, like, all I need to know.
100%. Biggest pet peeve.
People are still doing this.
It drives me absolutely nuts. Oh, I had a situation where I was on a flight a couple weekends ago, and they were, it said right on their thing, I could see it, yeah. Boarding C. Right? Yeah. So I'm B, and they had not called C. And they were standing there, like, blocking the entrance. Mm-hmm. And then that guy sat next to me. He had the seat next to me, which I don't even know how that happens, because isn't it like you board in order? But it was the most obnoxious thing. It's like they thought they were not getting on the plane. This plane doesn't leave until everybody's seated.
You have an assigned seat.
Right.
Like, what's the difference?
Well, also, like, if anything, like, why would you want to be on the plane earlier?
Well, no, I mean, I want to get on the plane. I want to get situated and whatnot in my seat. Like, I want to go on the plane when I'm supposed to go on the plane. So you're calling my group. That's when I want to go, right? Also reminds me of the person that they get up from the back row and they just start walking to the front of the plane when the plane lands. Mm. Like, just let everybody else get off the plane in the order that their seats are on there.
Yep.
It just makes it easier and quicker for everybody at that point.
It's always chaos when you have to get off the plane and everybody is standing with their head crouched underneath. Because, you know, you have to wait for them to open the door and then it's like the mass exodus. But, why are we standing there for so long? We can't get up until the person in front of us goes. So if you're in row 23, I don't want to be the one to break it to you, but you got a few minutes.
Right,
you can
just
sit
down.
Yeah.
Chill.
Tana and Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're one of these people at, like, a concert or a public event who puts their kids on their shoulders and has no regard for me standing right behind you, that's all I need to know.
People use their kids as a shield, man. It happens all the time. Oh, I got kids now. I don't have to play by rules. I can do whatever I want to. I'm special now. I got kids. On the other hand, if you're 2 feet tall, you can't see nothing.
You can't see anything.
You can't see nothing.
I know. I've been guilty of this before, but not, I would never stand in front of somebody and do it. But, like, I just want them to see, like, if there's a parade or something and they can't see anything and they're, like, at your knees and you're holding them in your arms. You just want them to get the optimal viewing.
That's the genius of this. Nobody looks cool saying, hey, man, put down your kid. Nobody looks cool doing that.
I went to Disney World last year. Remember, Raven? And then there was grown women sitting on their husband's shoulders blocking the view of children. And I was like, no. Like, no, that's where I draw the line.
They just really needed to see every bit of the Jack Sparrow before it was removed from that ride.
I guess so.
Erase him like a cosmonaut.
It's the thing that drives you nuts. 1-800-330-9999. 70% of women say that they prefer a man with a dad bod over a totally ripped guy. And I call all those women liars because that's not true and not a real thing.
I mean, I think, again, when you project, sexiness on somebody, you see something that you think is sexy. Like, it's cool on a poster. It's something that you see on a billboard, but it's not actually somebody you want to be with all the time.
Mm.
Okay. Not for you. Maybe that's different, huh?
But.
I mean, I can see beautiful women in Hollywood, but I don't actually see myself with any of them.
But your wife is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's like a regular person.
Right.
You know? I'm comfortable with her.
Here's the thing, is that if you can prove me wrong, we're going to hook you up with a $200 gift card to Home Depot. And all I want to do is I want to see pictures and tell us why your spouse has got the best dad bod. And you could also tell us why they're so awesome, too. Now, somehow, this turned into me sitting at my laptop, opening it up to my email, and getting tons of entries and just evaluating people's husbands. Been like, he's cute.
This one that you just sent me here feels a little bit unsettling. I mean, this is crazy.
But I thought I would read some of the entries that have come in so far. And you have plenty of time to submit your husband. AnnaandRaven.com has all the information. Let's see. Okay. Hey, Anna and Raven, I'm submitting my husband for the best dad bod. I never thought I'd be the dad bod type. My husband and I have been together for almost 11 years now. We met when he was in prime shape, abs and muscles for days, active duty military, tall tattoos, my idea of the whole package of physical perfection. That's not even mentioning his charming, hard exterior, marshmallow interior personality. I could go on and on. But he left the military right after we started a family because he couldn't fathom being away from his future family for extended periods of time. He hates his picture taken because he says he's fat, but our girls and myself couldn't be happier with the cuddly daddy bear that he is. And you know how you do like before and after pictures?
Sure.
Of like when you're like heavier versus like when you lose a lot of weight?
Right, right. They're always holding their pants way out.
Yeah, yeah. This is the reverse. It's him in the military ripped standing there and then him holding his girls and he's a cuddly teddy bear. I mean, how do you not love that?
All right.
Now, Gisella, I should tell you, she sent me a picture of her husband and I don't think she knows what a dad bod is.
Yeah.
Because he was ripped, hot, shirt off, scrubbing the stovetop. And I was like, wait, girl, you got a hot husband. What are you talking about, dad bod? And then I emailed her back. And I don't think she realizes that people like when their husbands are a little fluffier in the middle, you know?
What is this one you sent me?
This is a daughter that wrote a poem about her dad.
Okay.
The best dad bod has to be you, daddy.
All right.
Without you, we'd starve, she writes. And most of all, you're all moms and no one else's. As mommy says, why bother looking mighty fine when you're all mine? Go ahead, describe the picture.
Well, I mean, the top photo, there's two photos on here.
Yeah,
I
one mean, is a stock image of an actual hot man.
Okay, I mean, yes. The second individual, I mean, he looks like a nice guy. Look, he's got good biceps. He's cooking in the kitchen right now with his daughters. All right, he's got a decent, you know, rack of pectoral muscles here, and maybe a little bit of belly. I mean, I think that this guy is exactly the dad bod, you know, definition here.
Uh-huh. All right.
I'm just glad it's not a before and after, because I was going to, you know, I would have had to feel bad for him at that point.
Right, no, that's just a stock image. All right, you want to submit your hot dad bod? Go to AnnaandRaven.com.
You're looking good, man. You're looking good.
Can I get? I'll get. It's literally my biggest pet peeve. When we go out to restaurants, my husband and I, that's how he orders. He's like, can I get a, and then he'll order whatever. Or I'll get, oh my gosh.
What's so wrong with that?
Because it's like, may I please have, or, you know, I'll have. Like, I don't know why it bothers me so much. Like, can I get, like, what do you mean, can you get?
What's the difference between the two of those?
I don't know. There's something about can I get or I'll get that irks me. I just think it sounds very, I don't know, rough. Like, I don't, it doesn't sound polite.
I mean, he's asking, can I get it? Can I have that?
Right, no, there's a difference.
You say, may I have.
May I please have.
Oh, my gosh. What are you going to curtsy for them? Come on. It's a restaurant. There's all sorts of different levels of restaurants.
I've told my husband this a million times this past weekend. Same thing. We're out to dinner. He's like, I'll get the, and then whatever he ordered, steak, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, like, why do you do that? He's like, well, I go, why do you always say, can I get or I'll get? Like, you have to say, like, please, or may I please have, or something like that. And he looked at me, he goes, why do you always ask what's the waiter or the server's favorite thing on the menu and then you never once order it?
Right.
I go, oh.
Right. So you think can I get is somewhat insulting. If you ask somebody's opinion on something every time and then you never take their opinion, I mean, one could argue that it is also insulting, yes, right?
I guess.
Right, right. You never really thought about it that way, right?
Not until he said that. And then I was like, oh. Interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's just some things that we should stop saying to servers when we go out to eat. Like, it's just rude and it's obnoxious and it's corny.
Well, you know, I mean, my wife is always respectful of servers because she was a server for many years. But at the same time, like, my wife has got a special order for everything that she eats. She's very particular about the way that she has her food done. And it's always something is being withheld or something is being added. Mm. Always those things. And if there's a second thing on the menu that she likes, she'll ask whether or not they can do a side or a kid's version, even though you can see the menu. There's no version of this meal that appears on the kids' menu.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, she'll do that every time.
That's something we should probably stop saying to servers. Whenever they have to say, I'll go ask the kitchen, you've asked something dumb.
Right.
100%.
You've asked something that's gone too far. It's a step too far. You are correct.
1-800-330-9999. What should we stop saying to servers?
I'm a server. So I hate it when people, so when I go to take their plates, when they're done eating, and I say, you know, how is everything? And their plate is empty. And I'll get some guy who's like, oh, it was horrible. Oh, let me talk to the chef. I'm trying to make some dumb joke. I mean, ooh, haven't heard that one before.
Right. Seven times tonight. Mm-hmm. But you've got to laugh every time. And if you sell it well enough, you might just get another $1.25 out of that cringy old dude.
But you know what I don't understand? I am a person that will finish everything on my plate for the most part. Mm. And they'll come over and they'll be like, would you like a to-go container? And I always say the same thing. For what? There's nothing left on my plate. Like, servers should stop having to ask if I want a to-go container when there's literally nothing left for me to take home.
That's their joke on you.
I guess. Or they just want to make me feel bad that I didn't leave a single piece of lettuce.
Using your finger as a push for your fork.
Things you should stop saying to servers. This is one of my biggest pet peeves. Make sure I get the check. When you're a server, is there anything more annoying and difficult and awkward than when people are fighting over the check?
Mm.
Right?
I mean, I, as a server myself, at some point, it wouldn't really bother me as long as somebody pays me. But
no,
if they're fighting over the check
there,
and then you do it and then finally they get it back. Oh, no, I never stand there.
No.
I don't do that.
Oh,
No.
I used to stand there and I would with both cards and they would be like, no, put it on mine. No, make sure you put it on mine. I feel like saying, why don't you guys both pay and double my tip? There we go.
I drop it and I walk away. That's what I would do. And then I come back once I see it sticking out of the little thing. It's got to be sticking out of the thing towards the edge of the table. Bang.
So now I take my card out. And if the person with me is like, let me get it, I don't even argue. I'm like, yep, all right.
Is that your go-to move?
That's my new go-to move.
You know, they say when you're broke, when you go out drinking with friends, buy the first round because nobody remembers after that. It's kind of like, you're like, oh, I pulled my card out. And they said no, and I immediately pulled it back.
What's the thing we should stop saying to servers? 1-800-330-9999. CNN Raven.
You should stop saying to them when they bought your food. Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you, bring A1 with that, or bring ketchup, or bring Tabasco. Like, you can tell them when you took the order, you know, hey, you can bring some Tabasco or horseradish on the side when you bring the food, but then you're sending them back for a whole other trip for like a little bottle or something.
You know, to be fair, though, I hate it when they're there for 2 seconds. You asked me if I need anything, and the fact is that you don't really care if I need anything. You're just trying to run away from this table. So when I told you that I needed, like, a napkin or utensils, something that should have been on the table that you didn't have out there, and I also need ranch, but you ran away at 1,000 miles per hour, I mean, is that my fault? And now I don't have the ranch till the end of the meal.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm upset
when I order.
Well, you're right.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just don't know the flavor you need.
Oh, the worst is when you ask for things with mayo and then they don't bring the mayo.
Oh.
And then you don't, like, you're so hungry and the burger's just in front of you.
Yes.
You're like, do I just forego the mayo or right. do I just wait another half hour? You know,
you want to eat and you want to dive into the burger, but then you know you're going to spend the rest of the afternoon upset that you had a burger without mayo.
100%.
Yep.
Santa and Raven, what should we stop saying to servers?
When somebody walks up and introduces themselves and says, hi, how are you? Don't answer with diet coke. Or whatever you're drinking.
Say hello.
Yeah.
You can do that. Acknowledge the human presence.
Yeah.
You know, my parents own restaurants, so I spent many years serving in them. And the thing I always thought was odd was when I said, hi, my name's Anna. I'll be taking care of you guys tonight. And then they would introduce themselves and like everybody at the table.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, am I supposed to be taking notes?
Right.
Like, I don't need to know your name.
I don't want to know your name. Right. Let's be real here.
Yeah. I always thought that was awkward. Yeah.
Anna and Raven, what's something we should stop saying to servers?
When they're done eating and you ask them anything else and they're like, $1 million for the winning lottery ticket number.
Yeah.
Everybody with the jokes, right? I'll tell you one thing, though. I'll put this back on servers here. Don't ask me if I want more bread. The answer is yes. Everybody wants more bread all the time. There's nobody that doesn't want more bread. So stop asking that question and just bring the bread.
I don't want more bread.
Oh, you don't want more bread?
No, because then I'll eat the bread.
Well, guess what? Everybody else at your table wants the bread. Your husband, your kids, they all want the bread.
They don't get more bread because because we have to eat our dinners. If we fill up on bread, then we're not going to eat the meal that we're paying for.
Oh, you hear this? Anna's the keeper of bread in prison. Oh, who knew? Now we know.
But I don't know how we got off on this tangent, but you're right. The dad joke's got to stop.
But where am I going to work in all this awesome material?
You go out to eat, you don't even realize it's annoying. But what are the things you should stop saying to servers? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
The worst thing is when you have already served the table, everybody's done. You hand them the check and they're like, oh, can we split this five ways?
Yep.
That's a good time.
But then you got to remember what everybody ate, you know? And
right.
And that's always tough.
Yeah, and if your computer system is archaic, forget it. I mean, if you got a modern system, I've seen somebody take that bill and just cut it up. And honestly, that to me, that's worth an extra tip.
Splitting the check five ways is easy. Every system will do that. Problem is when we want separate checks. You had a Diet Coke, and then you ordered another Diet Coke, and you had the steak, and blah, blah, blah. So now you have to remember what everybody at the table ordered, and you weren't taking note of that. You're right. There's nothing more annoying than that.
And Raven, what's something that you got to stop saying to your server?
Okay, so my husband is the guy who always asks the server to list all of the salad dressings, but he always, 1,000%, yes, Italian. So I don't know why he bothers asking them and making them run through the whole list. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
There are only two dressings that I will entertain, the ranch or the honey mustard when I'm out.
Really?
I don't even know why I would ask either. And when they start telling me, I almost let out like a sigh when they start doing it. I'm like, I want them to know that I ain't got time for this and neither do they. I don't know. What's wrong with me? And then the same thing. Do you have any specials today? I don't really care about your specials. I got to be honest.
Sometimes the specials are incredible.
No, I know they are. But here's the thing. If it's not written down, I think that you got it like off some truck last night.
I will agree that when specials are not written down, I have to pay attention.
That's right. If it's on a paper, then that's one thing.
Have you noticed lately that restaurants have limited the amount of salad dressings that they have? I feel like everywhere you go is house balsamic vinaigrette now.
Oh, well, I like the balsamic. That's
right.
Very good.
But I feel like they used to be like there were so many different kinds of dressings. I think they went extinct or there's a shortage or something.
Right. Could be.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Things to stop saying to servers. What do you got?
So I have this friend. I see pretty regularly. She doesn't like the air conditioner. So every time we go into and it doesn't matter where we were seated. Like, she just says, can you turn off the air conditioner? It's kind of cold. Mm. She's like always cold. And that's really annoying.
She doesn't have the trunk sweater. I have a trunk sweater. That's just for restaurants. I just bring it everywhere I go, and you know, because it's always cold in restaurants.
I had dinner last week at a place that it was like bone chilling.
Mm-hmm.
15, 20 minutes in there, you were a bit achy. Tough to wait for dessert.
Did you request that they turn it down?
No, we're not those people.
Yeah.
We don't say it because, I mean, it is. It's a restaurant full of people. And obviously you don't care about any of our feelings. Why are my feelings going to be any more special than anybody else's?
It's true. Santa and Raven, what should people stop saying to servers?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? It drives me crazy when I bring the check to a table to a family and the mom or the dad, they say to me, you know, pointing to the kid. Oh, he's taking care of this. It's supposed to be cute or something. I don't know. It happens so constantly. You know, you don't think about it until you are a server, but a lot of people do that. And I don't know. I just can't help but roll my eyes.
I'll one-up you. When they bring a check and then they say to the kids, oh, no, we don't have any money. You have to go wash the dishes in the back.
Right.
That's always annoying.
Yeah. You know what all of that tells me?
What?
Dad's going to take another 8 minutes to reach in his back pocket and pull out that credit card.
Oh, yeah.
I got to turn this table, bro. Let's go. I got to turn this table.
I was shamed when I said in an interview that my husband and I, we don't have wills. We never wrote one. We never had one. I never thought we really needed one. But should you be getting one? Brian Cantor is an attorney. You can find him online at briancantor.com. Brian, like if I die, he gets the stuff. If he dies, I get the stuff. Isn't that like enough?
Actually, it's not. But they used to say that about half of all people die without a will. You do not need to do a will by law. It's not like you're driving without a license type of a thing. However, the state has drafted your will if you do not have one. Should everyone have a will? Yes, because it's an act of love for your family members. Because when you pass away, you want to make sure that you've reduced the stress on that family. Power of attorney is something where a will only applies when someone's passed away. And power of attorney deals with what happens when you're still alive and you're incapacitated.
If you don't name a power of attorney and you don't have a will, does it vary state to state on who gets to make those decisions for you? Or does it just become the doctor in charge becomes the person that decides whether or not to pull your plug?
I don't like the look of him.
Yeah.
Raven and I have discussed it. Who's going to pull our plug? And we've had this conversation before because I want to be the one to make a decision for Raven. Because I feel like I can do it independently. Like I can look at the facts. Family gets too much emotion involved.
Right. With me, you can be more clinical about it. You can just be like, well, he's taking up all this electricity.
Let me get some plugs.
He didn't even like Wednesdays. Today's Wednesday. Oh, that's it. Flip of the coin. He's gone.
Yeah. So who gets that decision if you don't have one?
If you don't have one, they're going to look to like a spouse or a parent, depending on the circumstance, who's the next of kin. You know, if you haven't given advance notice as far as what your wishes are, the circumstances are appropriate to pull the plug, you're brain dead, and they've gone through all the requirements that they need to as physicians, then they're looking to evidence, and it may require a court hearing, as we've seen, you know, in many famous cases.
Brian, obviously it's good to have a plan, and it sounds like most of our planning actually just goes into making sure that the greed that is left over with our family members doesn't tear them apart. Who actually enforces these things? I've had family members pass. They had a will, and then when it came down to it, those things were ignored. Were these things not filed in the right place? Parties not aware of these things? Who's my long arm of the law that enforces this thing after I go?
There are some states where you actually file wills in advance with a clerk of courts or someone like that. Draft a will, have it executed, hopefully with an attorney. I usually tell my clients to keep a will in a safe deposit box. You know where it is. It doesn't get lost. It's not burnt up in a fire. Let the person who is named executor or backup, some family members, know where the original is so that they can obtain that. There's been circumstances where, you know, wishes weren't followed. That's what the probate court is there for, to make sure that your will and your wishes regarding distribution of assets are carried forward.
Now, do you need an attorney to create a will? Because I always see, like, in movies where they just write it, like, on a napkin at a bar. And I was like, what if I just write, Paul, my husband, gets to make all the decisions and he gets everything. And if he's dead with me, then it goes to girls. Only if Dakota's behaving.
Remember that movie where they were like, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. They said it three times outside and they were no longer married.
Right.
So, I mean, sometimes some of these things are a little bit more flimsy than others.
Oh, yeah. There's software you can purchase, programs you can purchase. First, there's a requirement that these documents be executed properly with the right number of witnesses, et cetera. Could do your own. However, you may risk it's not in accordance with the statute to be effective.
And then you're on the outside looking in. Your paper is worth nothing, Anna.
Attorney Brian Cantor, you can find him online at briancantor.com. Thank you so much, Brian. You want to talk about the most ridiculous conversation that you have to have with a toddler? This happened over the weekend, and Dakota was very, very upset.
Hmm.
My three-year-old.
Dakota, why were you so upset?
The bed pooped on me.
What happened?
The bed pooped on me.
The bird pooped on you.
Yeah.
What did it look like?
It fell on my finger.
It fell on your finger? And then what did you do?
Then I cried.
But the birdie didn't mean to hurt you. It was good luck, right? It was good luck when the birdie pooped on your finger?
Yeah. He said, I gotta go potty. That's what he has to say.
Oh, because he didn't say he had to go potty. It just came out of the sky, right? You were upset about that.
Yeah. That's why I'm upset about the bird.
Well, you were upset by the bird, I know.
Yeah.
I can't.
I didn't know what she said there, but I remember
was upset about the bird.
I remember my dad getting pooped on one time by a seagull at the beach. And he was very upset about it.
Yeah.
And he was like, Dad, we're at the beach. Just go in the water. Wash it off. But he was very angry about it.
My parents went back to the homeland. They went to Italy on their honeymoon. And there's this picture of them in Rome in like the square with all the pigeons.
Sure.
And they're just covered in it. They're just covered in the waste. And my mom was like, it was so much good luck. We've been married 30, 40 years now.
You're trying to snap one photo. Right. And by the time that photo's over in that square, you've been crapped on 6 times.
I was like, this is disgusting. This is literally disgusting.
Did you need shots when you came back into the country? Wow. Yeah.
And then, like, it's so funny because it happens. And she's, Dakota's horrified. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. She's screaming, like, God only knows what's happening to her. And I'm getting the wipes out of the stroller, and I'm wiping her. I go, no, it's
good. But you've
got
to tell her the thing that everybody says.
Right. And, right. And she is as confused as could possibly be. How could a bird going potty in the air, didn't even ask for permission or say anybody that she had to go potty, be good luck?
How could it be?
But she kept asking me. She was like, but why, Mommy? Why? And I was like, Mommy doesn't know.
Yeah, you're not sure either.
I don't know.
You've just been told yourself that, or you've been told that your entire life, right? That's a lot of times what we do in you know, crappy situations, I guess.
Literally. I Googled it because I was like, wait a minute. Where did that even come from, that if a bird goes to the bathroom on you, it's good luck?
Yeah.
It says the wealthier a person is, the higher quality food they consume. So in a sense of when a bird goes to the bathroom on you, it is transferring its prosperity, or the fact that the bird was fortunate enough to eat well enough to have to actually go to the bathroom.
Where did you find this nonsense?
I mean, it's the first thing
Seriously.
That comes up on Google.
Okay. Well, you know, Google, you've been really, really smart on a lot of things. On that one, not so much.
It's crazy, though. But it's so funny how we say certain things are good luck. Like, what actually does it come from? Is it actually good luck? Has anybody had good luck when these things happened?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that's been terrifying for me is, like, when you think you have something that's good luck and then somebody else comes in and tells you that you're doing it wrong. So, like, you know, if you have a horseshoe or something like that, got to have the horseshoe up, right? Facing up, right? There's nothing worse than somebody walks into a room and they go, wow, nice horseshoe. And you're like, oh, thanks. Yeah, I found that here. And before you even get the second sentence out, they're like, you know, it's supposed to be the other way, right? Like right now. What you're doing is actually inviting bad luck.
Demons into your home.
That's right. You have a kindred spirit that's in here, that some sort of poltergeist.
This article says that throughout the ages, animal feces have said to bring wealth. I mean, come on. Like,
come on,
really?
With that.
Yeah.
I mean.
What's that thing that they say is good luck, but it's not? Dakota, my three-year-old, had a bird go to the bathroom in the sky, landed right on her finger, and she screamed and cried like God only knew what was happening. And then here I am, like a crazy mom. And, no, Dakota, it's good luck.
Right.
Try to explain to a toddler that a bird pooping on her finger is good luck.
I mean, if you spend a minute pondering it as an adult, you're like, this is the dumbest thing ever. It makes no sense whatsoever. You know, I can remember being a kid, actually, and four-leaf clovers, everybody, you know, your parents, if you were wandering around playing in the yard, your parents would tell you to look for one. And the truth is when I would find one, I would think to myself, why here? Is this like a contaminated space? Maybe. Is it a mutant? Like, am I standing on top of something?
I can't believe you actually found one. I've never found one.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're more common than people say nowadays. That's because the world's ending.
Okay. What do they say is good luck that you just don't understand it? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven?
So, you know that, like, whole thing of if you spill the salt, you have to, like, throw it over your shoulder? I've always thought, like, that's the silliest, because I've never actually heard anyone be like, oh, I did that, and then something great happened. You know, it just seems stupid.
It is true. Like, why did people throw salt over the shoulder?
Wasn't it about spirits or something?
I think it's a Greek thing. I don't know. I don't know why I think that. But
you have to throw it over your left shoulder, according to the internet.
Look at this. Salt is believed to ward off evil spirits in Buddhist tradition. Mm-hmm. And after a funeral, salt is thrown over the left shoulder to prevent evil spirits from entering the house. Don't follow me home, evil spirits.
Also, according to this website, if you look at Leonardo da Vinci's painting, The Last Supper, you'll see that Judas has knocked over the salt with his elbow. And because Judas betrayed Jesus in the Bible, people began associating salt with lies and disloyalty.
Why didn't we just get rid of salt right then?
I mean, we would have been so much better off.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine all that weight gain.
Oh, I'm so bloated.
Oh,
me too. It's all Judas's fault.
My feet wouldn't be swollen.
Oh. Tana and Raven, what's supposed to be good luck, but it doesn't make any sense?
You know those rabbit's foot keychains? I had one when I was a kid, and it never brought me any luck. Sure wasn't lucky for the rabbit.
I remember having them. Remember, they come in all different colors? They would be like neon pink, neon purple. Now, I've never seen a neon pink or a neon purple bunny.
No.
So I don't know what color their feet would be.
That would be something, though.
But were they pretend or were they for real rabbit's feet?
I think they were real.
No.
You had a bunny. Your bunny was slaughtered for dinner.
Yes.
Did you get a rabbit's foot out of that?
No, I don't know what happened to the rabbit's foot. I'm going to guess it did not end up on a keychain.
I think they originally were real, but maybe what you got it is Cheap Carnival, some sort of a knockoff trinket. They originally started as a real thing.
Now, Liz says right here, these days, most of the so-called rabbit's feet are actually imposters made from latex covered in dyed fake fur.
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, you carried a real dead rodent with you.
Oh, my gosh. They have a picture of a real Lucky Rabbit's foot. It's you don't want to carry that around with you.
Oh, it's gross.
It's gross.
Hey, Anna and Raven, what's supposed to be lucky, but it's really not?
Rain on your wedding day. It absolutely poured on my wedding day, and my whole entire bridal party tried to make me feel better about it and say that it meant good luck, but it stunk. I mean, we're still married. We're very happily married, and I know that that is the main point, but we have really, we have like some soggy pictures. We had to do our cocktail hour inside.
It's just something that people say.
I remember the day before my sister's wedding, they had forecasted so much rain, and all of us went on this journey and adventure to find giant clear umbrellas, because we were like, if we're going to take pictures in the rain, we want them to be cute. And we did. We found these clear umbrellas. I think Bed Bath & Beyond was selling them at the time. I mean, you can make the most of it. What are you going to do? You can plan for everything, but you can't plan for the weather. Isn't that what they say? Did I say that right?
That is. I don't know why you said it like that.
Yeah. But
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. James and Maggie. Maggie, what's going on?
Yeah, so basically my husband has brought up that he has an issue with me using social media or, like, posting pictures of our kids when they're in their swimsuits and stuff, or, like, he just thinks it's a little inappropriate to be sharing. As he said it, like, we don't know where this is going. And my mom posts a lot of the kids, too, and he's, like, brought up to me that he wants me to tell my mom to stop posting things. So we just disagree.
James, what's the deal? What's your thoughts on this?
Well, she kind of sums it up, but, yeah, no, I think my wife posts pictures of our kids a lot, but her mother kind of does it even more than her, and we really don't have any control over what her mother is posting or when or where or who gets to see it. It just makes me feel very vulnerable having our kids out there.
You know, just my mom has very few followers on anything, so that's
it's tough and touchy. It really is,
right? Because I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it doesn't matter how many followers she has or you do. It's just one person sharing it to the wrong person or whatever. And God, there's filthy people on the internet, right? There's plenty of filthy people out there. And who knows what they, you know, capture these images for. You hear these stories about, you know, this was a random photo I had on Facebook or on Insta or something like that. And then you see it in an advertisement or something. Insane ways that things can be violated, let alone if you're talking about photos like with the kids in their swim trunks or anything like that. And you're feeling like there just might be some creeps out there. Yeah, it's a tricky thing, right? You want to share these things with your family, certainly, and your friends. And obviously, you're proud. You beam when you're looking at your children, just like I'm sure your mother is doing. On the other hand, the internet can be a bad place. It can be a dangerous place.
I don't know how in a million years you can tell the grandmother, though, to stop posting pictures when she's so proud.
Well, you know, I mean, you have to just tell her it's about the protection of the kids, right? And hope that she'll do it because of that.
What are we protecting them from? I'm like, that's what I'm confused by. Right, like, you know,
I think it's pretty naive to act like there's nothing on the internet that could happen bad. I mean, you're a grown person with children. You have to know that there's predators out there. I mean, I'm not dawning the light for you,
yeah,
neither
but,
is
like,
your
I'm
husband.
I'm not, like, putting our address on the...
Right.
That's the thing. I'm like,
I agree with you,
Maggie. Friends and followers, like, they want to see my kids swimming. Like, I feel like we're, like, all afraid of this scary ghost that doesn't exist.
There's a million ways to find your address, but that's it,
Raven. And this is where I agree with Maggie, is like, if there is somebody that has ill intentions, they will have ill intentions and they will find a way.
Right. Like, being afraid of everything is, like, not the way we should, you know.
I mean, I don't know if I characterize living in fear the same thing as being cautious. That's all I'm saying is I'm not sure which way the boats will go. But you know what? It's not up to me.
Why don't we see what the audience has to say? Because they may agree with you, James, that you don't want your kids on social media. That's it. You need to tell your mother-in-law, and Maggie, you have to respect that, and no pics. But they may see Maggie's point, too, where you can't just live in fear. And if you want to post pictures of your kids and share, like, your love for them, then what's the big deal? Because something bad's going to happen. Let's be honest. Something bad's going to happen.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
James and Maggie have young children, and James has told Maggie time and time and again, stop posting pictures of the kids on social media. Hmm. And your mom does it too. Tell her to stop. But Maggie thinks he's overreacting.
Yeah, she doesn't think it's a big deal. She says everybody is sharing photos of their kids. He's like, listen, they're running around in their swimsuits. You know, it's our house. You know, it's just a dangerous situation. It's so strange, the things that we have to be concerned about today, Anna. You know, the main thing being is that if somebody has ill intent, they will find a way to do something. Mm-hmm. But what is the thing that hooks somebody in that says, oh, that's where I'm going to put my ill intent? That's the part that's scary to me.
To me, you overanalyze it. You drive yourself crazy. You want to share pictures of your kids. You share pictures of your kids. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on the husband's side. Share the pictures over the phone, not the internet.
I mean, that could make more sense, right? You feel like it's a closer-knit circle. It's your people. You feel like you're in more control of it. And I always think that it's important to talk about the people that you share photos with, because a lot of times friends or family, they'll post things without permission or without asking. They don't think anything of it. If you're going to be, you know, concerned about it, pay attention to every bit of it, right?
It's funny. A lot of calls coming in voting with him. But when I open my Facebook page, all I see is beautiful, smiling children's faces. So.
Right. When we look at the information on the outside, it's easy for us to make a logical decision. But when we're living it, it's like, oh, this is a great photo. I'm just going to put it up there. It's no harm.
I don't know. I get torn on this. Well, whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. James and Maggie have young kids, and Maggie and Maggie's mom love to post pictures of them on social media, and it bothers James. He says it's just opening up a can of worms for something terrible to happen.
Listen, when you get a fear in your head, you get something, you know, in your brain, and you start thinking about the things that you want to protect the most on this planet, you get nervous, right? And you say to yourself, what are we doing? What could we be doing better? James just feels like photos of his kids online, especially when they're running around during the summer in their swimsuits or whatever, it's just too much.
Is he overreacting? What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I am on the husband's side. There are so many predators out there, and child trafficking is crazy. I'm sorry.
I get how Maggie feels, that she's like, oh, you know, we're not surrounded by the boogeyman. On the other hand, bad things happen to good people every single day. And if one of you is really concerned about it, at the very least, you have to take those feelings into account when you're talking about it. You can't just mock it and dismiss it.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm kind of on the husband's side. There has to be criteria. Because I, as a predator, can say, oh, the 12 and under, you know, girls baseball team, and I can just go to the field and find them. There has to be criteria for the grandmother to post a smiling face. Nothing with logos, nothing with pictures of the house, the town. I mean, if she wants to post her smiling little face, that's fine. But it was something from the neck up with nothing really identifiable in the background.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the side of the husband. I just think that we always are cautious with everything. We wear seatbelts, we have smoke detectors, and so why wouldn't we be cautious with our children? Because at the end of the day, our friends don't want to see our kids swimming. They couldn't care less. We want to put our kids to our friends, see them swimming. So it's an ego thing, and we just got to get over that and try to protect our kids.
Just want to say, Dakota had her first dance recital this past weekend, and she was dressed up as a little train girl because they were doing the locomotion.
Mm.
And it was the cutest thing I've ever posted on social media in my life. And I would think that people would want to see that.
You might be wrong, though.
Do you want to see it on my phone? Do you want to see her performance?
Oh, no, I will see it.
She went rogue. She did like a solo.
Who would have thought?
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
James, our audience agreed with you today. I'm sorry, Maggie, they just didn't see your side. If he feels strongly about a no pictures of kids on social, it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I just didn't, I don't feel that threat. But, you know, I will respect, obviously we will discuss this more, but I will respect that. I'm going to have a hard time with my mom, I think, but we'll figure it out.
You've got to be relieved there somewhat, James.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a small relief. I think it's pretty common sense that we shouldn't be putting it up too much. And I just hope that this will help a little bit.
Right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $700 thanks to DoorDash. With DoorDash, you can order it all. Use the app or shop online at DoorDash.com with promo code ORDER22 for 50% off your first order. Get more from your neighborhood with DoorDash. Okay. All right, Carol, you ready to play?
I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Carol.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He comes back in. I ask him the same questions. And whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. But if you beat him, $700. You ready to play?
I am.
Number one, rumors are that Ted Lasso's 3rd season is being written like it's the last, confirming that it was always supposed to be a trilogy. Ted is the coach of AVC Richmond, which is a team that plays what sport?
Soccer.
Number two, the Hunger Games are back in the first trailer for the Ballads of Songbirds and Snakes. What is the name of Katniss's sister?
Primrose.
Number three, Esquire ranked all of Will Ferrell's movies. Top three are Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, Stranger Than Fiction, and Elf. When Buddy the Elf answers the phone in his dad's office, he says, "It's Buddy the Elf." And then what does he ask?
Oh, geez. Who is this?
Buddy the Elf. I'm going to guess, Carol, you don't know. We're going to go on to number 4.
No, I don't know.
All right. Amazon says its upcoming series, A League of Their Own, keeps the joyful spirit of the original 1992 movie, but it also takes a deeper look at race and sexuality. What pop icon played Mae Morbido in the original?
Madonna.
Number 5, Johnny Depp celebrated his win by joining TikTok yesterday, and it was the last time I checked, he already had over 8 million followers. On TikTok, what 2 colors are the check mark when your account is verified?
Well, I don't have TikTok, so I'm going to say black and white.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yep.
Carol got 3 out of 5.
Pretty good, Carol. Let's see how I do here.
Okay. Number 1, rumors are that Ted Lasso's 3rd season is being written like it's last, confirming that it was always supposed to be a trilogy. That makes me sad, by the way, because I love that show so much.
Okay.
Ted is the coach of AVC Richmond, which is a team that plays what sport?
Well, they play soccer.
Yes. Number 2, the Hunger Games are back for the first trailer for the Ballads of Songbirds and Snakes. What is the name of Katniss's sister?
Primrose.
Yes. Number 3, Esquire ranked all of Will Ferrell's movies. The top 3 are Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, Stranger Than Fiction, and Elf. When Buddy the Elf answers the phone in his dad's office, he says, "It's Buddy the Elf." Then what does he ask?
What's your favorite color?
Yes. Number 4, Amazon says its upcoming series, A League of Their Own, keeps the joyful spirit of the original 1992 movie, but it also takes a deeper look at race and sexuality. What pop icon played Mae Morbido in the original?
Pop icon, it's got to be Madonna.
Yes. Number 5, Johnny Depp celebrated his win by joining TikTok yesterday, and the last time I checked, already had 8.1 million followers. On TikTok, what 2 colors are the check mark when your account is verified?
I'm just going to take a shot because I don't know and say green and yellow.
No, blue and white.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Carol. He beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Carol, and I can't be Raven this time.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $800 tomorrow, Anna.